All right. Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here and with us today. And those that weren't able to be here last week, we missed you, and we're glad you're back. And as also mentioned, there's many with health issues, so continue praying for them. Our visitors, it's good to have you all with us as well. And we're beginning a series here for the month of December. Entitled God Became Flesh. And many of our texts and our lesson points will be from the book of John and looking at that. But this message for today is God in the flesh. And so when we see that, always think Jesus. God in the flesh gives us hope. And just think of the hope that we have in Jesus. And so the promise of eternal life, salvation, is for everyone. Scripture tells us for everyone who believes. That makes this the best promise in the world. An eternal, universal hope that is extended to all mankind. The hope is not just for us now, although we count on that, but it includes the future assurance of being raised up on that last day. We find our hope in Jesus Christ, and our last point will emphasize towards that as we look at that passage for that. But this divine will ensures that those who believe will not be lost, offering a secure hope in God's plan for them. Be not misunderstood. I am not preaching once saved, always saved. But I believe we go against the will of God if we do not preach that we have an assurance in the hope of Jesus Christ. And so some like to try to mesh those things. Some like to try to just put one thought into our mind. But as a Christian, we can draw strength from that hope that we have in Jesus Christ any time that we need that. As I've mentioned before, the older I get, the more I like to think spiritual, hopefully, is what I get. Romans 8:1 becomes a verse that I love to be able to hinge my faith on, and that is that there is now no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. And when I was immersed into Jesus Christ, that's how I got into Him. And there is now no condemnation because of Him. Not because of me, not because of my good deeds, not because of the righteous acts that I do, but when the Father looks down from heaven to look at this wretched man, He does not see me with my sin. He sees His Son, who I've clothed myself in, and all of His righteousness. Can I get an amen? And so we are so grateful and thankful for that. So this offers a secure hope in God's plan for them. I want to share a little story that took place for those that didn't know that there was a George Bush before George W. Bush. And he was vice president for 8 years, from 1980 to 1988, under with President Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was not able to attend the funeral for the Soviet leader of that time, Leonid Brezhnev. And so George Bush went in his place. He noticed something. Got to understand, Ronald Russia, with its communist, socialist views in putting out God from their country, and I hope you understand I said something there, putting out God from their country for years, for decades, for century. As we look at that, Bush was deeply moved by a silent protest carried out by Brezhnev's wife, the widow. She stood motionless by the coffin until just seconds before it was closed. Then as the soldiers touched the lid to close it for the very last time, the widow reaches into the coffin just seconds before it closes and performed an act of great courage and hope. And I'd be happy to discuss with you the theological problem in this, but there's something I want to share. The great courage and hope, a gesture that must surely rank among one of the most profound acts of civil disobedience. Those are two words I think are funny together. Civil disobedience, like civil war, right? Anyway. Ever committed, she reached down and made the sign of the cross upon her husband's chest just before they shut the lid. There in the citadel of the secular, atheistic power, the wife of the man who had run it all, she had hope that her husband was wrong. She hoped that there was another life, and that that life was best represented by Jesus who died on the cross, and the same Jesus might yet still have mercy on her husband. And so imagine a nation that has been taught there is no God, but yet she had hope that her husband was wrong and that somehow he might show mercy on her by, or on him by making the mark of the cross. And I hope that's the theological thing that we're discussing. But what she was really advertising there was that Jesus Christ is our only hope. That God that became flesh is our only hope. The hope of salvation that Jesus brings to mankind can be found in the verse in which we are going to be starting here this morning of John chapter 1. I couldn't help but think of bringing a message entitled God Became Flesh and not start in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verses 1 through 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it." And those of us, as you drop all the way down to verse 14, and it says, "And the Word became flesh." Which who have we already established is the Word? Jesus. "And Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us." This is where we captivate the incarnate Word of God. That Jesus Christ has left us the gospel, but while Jesus Christ was here, He was the gospel. And He has still given us that message of salvation today. Jesus explains that His mission is to do the Father's will. And as children of God, and be not misunderstood of this, not everyone that's born in the world is a child of God. God has allowed them to be here, but what makes us a child of God? Obedience to Him through His Son, Jesus. And so as we look at that, it's a reminder to us that Jesus says that He's come to do His Father's will. What should be our desire while we live here as children of God? To do the Father's will. Boy, I know you guys are all way better than I am, but this guy fails quite often. But I am thankful again that I have Jesus Christ in my life as my Savior. And Jesus explains that His mission is to do the Father's will, which is that everyone who believes in Him will receive eternal life and be raised upon that last day. And what that is a reminder to us is that we are mortal and we are fragile. Our life here will come to an end, definitely. We will not live forever in this bodily form. The passage assures believers of the hope that comes from God's will being fulfilled through Jesus Christ, offering assurance of salvation and future resurrection. We cannot talk about a current day salvation without mentioning in there somewhere, as we will close out, and as is mentioned here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 in verse 38 through 40 says, "For I have come down from heaven." Did Buddha say that? Did Muhammad say that? That I have come down from heaven? Can a Pope say that? No, there is no one else to say, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will." And as Josh had used the phrase this morning, that He had left the glory and the splendor of heaven. Everything that this, and don't get me wrong, I believe our Maker, which we had already read in the text of Jesus, has given us a pretty beautiful place to live. There are wonders beyond wonders. But I'm just letting you know, don't get too hooked on this place, because heaven will blow its socks off. Okay? So, as we look at that, and we discuss that He says, "I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Again, we are finding that our hope is in Jesus. For what reason? So that we will be resurrected up in that last day. Fulfilling the Father's will is what Jesus is about. Fulfilling and doing and sharing in the will of our Father is what we should be about. But Jesus states His purpose is to do the will of God, the Father, who sent Him. He never made any bones about it, never swayed from that, never showed anything that was different, never lived a lifestyle that was about Him. Everything that He did was about the Father and even bringing glory to Him. The passage clearly links eternal life to looking to the Son and believing in Him. What I want for us to understand is that when we look to the Son, when it talks about, we've used that phrase several times already here. When we look to the Son and we are believing on Him. So if you believe what Jesus says, if you believe me, if you obey me, you will keep my commandments. And so then that goes with all the things that Jesus has said for us to do. Right? Do we find anywhere in Scripture that Jesus told us that we need to believe? Try Mark 16:16. Red letters, if you want to look it up. This is what Jesus is saying. It says that we need to believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How about repentance? Luke 13:3, right? "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Right? So is repentance, does Jesus desire for us to repent? Is that a command of His? Does He ask us to do that? Yeah, and so as we go down the list, we can go through there and we see that confession is the same thing. Jesus has asked us to do it. That being baptized, Jesus has asked us to do it. Multiple verses, including again Mark 60, and live faithfully. And he wants for us to do these things and carry them out. Why is that? Because he is the one in which we find our hope. And that's our first point this morning. That was a long introduction, wasn't it? But our first point is that Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. There are key Bible verses that talk about Jesus being our hope. One of them we want to look at this morning is 1 Timothy 1:1. This is where the Apostle Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope." Our hope. He's our plan for salvation. For those of you here that are Christians, do you realize that you have put all your spiritual eggs in one basket? And if you haven't, then come talk to me afterwards. Because you need to put all your spiritual eggs in one basket, and that basket is Jesus Christ. That if he is not the Messiah, that if he is not the Savior of the world, that if he is not the only begotten Son of God, everyone in here that has been obedient to him is certainly lost. If he is not those things. That's how sold out we should be. There is no plan B. It's Jesus or bust. I remember the first couple years, when we start going to the Northman, when I was a little bitty guy, there'd be different people that we'd pass along the highway, headed up there, that they'd have signs in their back window or in the side window of their vehicles that would say, "Northman or bust." Right? You know? And unfortunately, sometimes you'd see some of those cars broke down along the highway. No. But the whole idea is that we're gonna get there. And the only thing that's going to stop us is if it breaks down, right? I'm just here to let you know, our theology in Jesus Christ as him as the Savior of the world will not break down under us. And therefore, we're heaven bound because of Jesus. We have our hope in him. Jesus is our hope. He is a light in darkness. Remember, it says that he was a light there in verse 5, I believe it was, of John chapter 1, that he is a light, and he came into this world of darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend him. That means they couldn't understand him. That means when we live our life like Jesus, there's going to be those people in the world that look at us like we're crazy. Peter tells us that we are to be a peculiar people, that we are to be strange, that we are to be weird. But what is our philosophy today? Too many times we as Christians try to blend in and become a part of the world. When Jesus tells us, you may be in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. We find our hope is in him. And that darkness cannot comprehend him. That darkness cannot handle him. He is that light that when he walks into that room, and as we see, as Josh had been going through the days of creation, remember back that we had light created ever before there was sun? Might also remember that on our Genesis studies. Why is that? Because the light, Jesus Christ, is even greater than the sun that warms up this planet. And bring on the heat, sweet Jesus. Right? Who's all for global warming? Amen? Yes, please. Right? Anyway, that's my political rant for the day. Okay? But as we look at that, and we are reminded that in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus is our light. He offers healing. He offers strength. He offers a path through despair. He offers a relationship that is built on his love, a covenant promise that he will not break. And this is based on the resurrection of him from the dead, providing peace and eternal life as we trust in him, our solid rock against life's storms. For some reason this morning, as I was glancing over this passage, when I saw this phrase that I had in there of the storms of life, and so I imagine being on the coastline and the big rocks, probably more up in like the northeast coast there, Maine and some of those areas. As you'd get to the coast, you see those big rocks and those waves break. And that is the world breaking against those rocks. And you know what happens to those rocks? Another wave hits them. And another wave hits them. And another wave hits them. And the storms of this life are hitting us and knocking us down. But who is our rock? Jesus Christ. Who's the one that stands firm? Who's the one that digs in and is always there for us? Jesus, the rock. And those waves and the storms of this life may batter us down, but you know what? At the end of the day, who's still there? The rock. Jesus Christ is our rock. That'd be a great theme for a youth camp someday. Oh, wait, we just did that one. But Jesus is our hope. Not only is Jesus our hope, Jesus is our blessed hope. Josh kind of touched on that with a blessing, what that is. Verses like Titus chapter 2, verse 13 reminds us of that. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a time for us to reflect on the Beatitudes. Maybe. Happy? Blessed? Right? Happy are we because of these things? Some of those are difficult. Dare I remind you, I don't believe those are a checklist. I don't think you can hop around. I think they are in a significant order that we have to do one to work on the next to be able to get there. Because if we don't have those down, then when it comes to the final one of letting our light shine or understanding what persecution is, we're going to collapse. So I believe that those are in order, but I did find a poem that just kind of wanted to share at this time. It says, "From Darkness to Light." When shadows fall and spirits tire and weary hearts feel spent and cold, Jesus appears a burning fire, a story of new hope to unfold. He takes our fear, our doubt, our pain, replaces shame with gentle grace, washes us clean in holy rain, and lights the path to find our place. He's the anchor strong and true. On Christ the rock we stand secure. His resurrection sees us through, a promise lasting, ever pure. Jesus is not just our hope. Scripture says that Jesus is our blessed hope. It continues to elevate it as we get through the gospel, or as we get through the Word of God, as we see these things, that He is our hope, and that He wants to be our blessed hope, that we find happiness in Him being our hope, that we consider ourselves blessed, that we have found Him as our hope. And then that leads us to point number 3. Long introduction, short body. Okay? Number 3. Jesus is our living hope. Our living hope. Another verse that goes along with this is 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let us be reminded. Let us find our hope in the one that lives. As we mentioned, all of those that did not come from heaven, then when they died, they did not ascend to heaven. Jesus Christ did. He came from heaven and he at 50 days after, has ascended to heaven. And guess what? He has told us many places, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, that he is coming back again one day. Nobody's going to miss it. Everybody's going to know when it happens. It's not going to slip by anybody. They're not going to say, oh, I'll catch you next trip. That ain't going to happen. Because everybody will know when Jesus returns, because we then will share in his resurrection. Because if that does not happen, as Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, then we are men to be most pitied. I almost stepped right off there. That would have been pitiful. But as we look at that and are reminded that it is through that death burial, the gospel, his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that he became flesh to take on all the things, as Hebrews said, tempted in all points as we, but yet without sin. None of us can claim that. That's why we need a Savior. But that we find a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. Now, so many times in some of our analogies and stories we use, we try to use something that will make us think. So don't think too much into this closing illustration on what I think about rats. Okay, still. However, the illustration fits and is good. Okay, all right. So there was a study done a number of years ago. Researchers performed an experiment to see the effect of hope on those undergoing hardships. They took two sets of laboratory rats, 25 in each bucket or barrel or trough or whatever you want to say. They separate them into these tubs and they fill them full of water. Almost full. They couldn't crawl out the top. The researchers left one set in the water and found that within an hour, all 25 had drowned. The other rats were periodically lifted up out of the water and then returned to the water. So then what happened was, after 24 hours of swimming, the 25 rats were still alive, where the others had died within an hour. Not because they were given rest, is not why they died, but that those 25 rats had just simply lost hope. Looking to the left and looking to the right and seeing their fellow rat friends die, that's where I'd be. Just let them go. All right? But anyway, in this experiment, those 25 that were taken out for just a short time and put back in were able to swim for over 24 hours. And then the assistant that was watching over them forgot about them, turned the light off, went home, and they all died. No, I made up that part. But they were able to live for 24 hours because of hope. Not knowing if that hope would come, but they knew it had before. And so they would continue to swim, that maybe we can make it till the next time that we are grabbed from here. Those animals hoped that somehow they could stay awake or stay afloat just a little bit longer till someone would reach down and rescue them. So just think, if hope can hold that fast for drowning rodents, unthinking rodents, how much greater should be that hand that reaches down from heaven and wants to save us? And he wants to give us that hope that we do not have to die. You know, there are those here today that came to Jesus Christ on high note, on good things. on hearing an encouraging sermon, want to become Christians. There are those that come to Christ here, maybe at the bottom of their life. But you know what we all have in common, from those that came on a high note to those came at the rock bottom, was that it was the same hand reaching out of heaven that wants to save us all and offer us hope through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that's the hand of God. And how dare we reject His offer? And yet there still will be those that say, no, not now. Maybe some other day. Maybe some more convenient time. As we know that Jesus is our hope, let us reflect and remember that Jesus, while being our hope, is also our blessed hope, our happy hope, that we're glad that He came for us. But while we're remembering that Jesus is our hope and that He is our blessed hope, let us never, ever forget that He is our living hope. So that we even might say goodbye to this body one day, but our souls will live with Him forever in eternity. Let us have a living hope in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray that today would be your day of salvation. We had mentioned the plan of salvation earlier, that we must come to Jesus in faith, that He is the Son of God, that we must repent of our sin, that we must confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that we must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then by all means, we must do our best to live and remain faithful until we do pass from this body, or those trumpets sound and He calls us home. Our hope is in Jesus. It's a blessed hope. And it's a living hope because of His resurrection and us sharing in His death, burial, and resurrection. We too will rise one day. Don't miss out on the greatest day that a Christian will ever have. It's not when we begin the walk. That's a wonderful day. Don't get me wrong. But when we have been faithful and seen it through to where we get to meet our Savior in the air, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Will you stand?